slams this one way out of here. Wow. Admire that one, Starling. This is unbelievable. He brought his driver today.
I mean, wow.
That one was teed off Snead.
Another horrible loss for the Astros.
What the hell is up with these old school announcers with their little rhyming things, teed off Snead?
I did like the goodbye Newman. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the goodbye Newman.
That didn't feel as old school.
I know I'm like channeling my inner Rich Lord here, but I did like the goodbye Newman that they've had. Unfortunately, at our expense the last couple of nights, as the Pirates have walked into Minute Maid Park and basically stolen our women and children after the last 2 days. Astros lost their third series in a row. All right, I know the trade deadline is a little bit more than a month away. July 31st, that's the last day you can add players because there's no waiver trade deadline anymore in Major League Baseball. I know it's 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks. I really think the time is now. If Jeff Luhnow can swing this, I would be making it a priority to add a starting pitcher as soon as humanly possible. You add a starting pitcher on July 31st, and think about it. You've got 2 months of the season, so you're looking at, I'm just going off the top of my head here, like 12 starts or so that you're basically paying for with one of those guys. Let's try to add somebody now so I can get the month
of
July.
Especially because the Yankees are looking at pitchers, too.
Yes.
The Yankees are not going to slow down. They added Encarnacion already to their offense, and now they're looking at pitchers. So it almost becomes not a waiting game to see if maybe the Blue Jays come down on their price on Marcus Stroman, because reportedly the Blue Jays want a pretty hefty haul for him. It's that you've got to get one of these guys before the Yankees get him. Now, the recent history would suggest that the Yankees don't do as good a job of selecting the pitchers they want versus what the Astros end up trading for the trade deadline. So maybe they're not even targeting the same guys. I could see the Yankees going after Bumgarner, and maybe Bumgarner not working out just because, like, he's not the same mad bum from the playoffs from 4 years ago. Maybe that adrenaline surge when you hit the playoffs is fine, but I'm not worried about the playoffs right this moment. I'm worried about the regular season. I want to have a shot at perhaps having home field advantage.
I also wonder how a guy like Bumgarner would fit in New York City. Very rural sort of guy.
Well, he's in San Francisco.
I know.
It's not like...
Listen, let me tell you. It's a different deal, though, in New York with the way that baseball is covered and approached. It's very tense.
Yeah, but I don't think he's, like, reading the blogs and everything. I don't know if he even owns a computer.
He may not.
I think they'll figure out a way. You know the Yankees, what they'll do for him. Well, you know, they made Randy Johnson feel at home.
They said,
what?
He did not. That did not work well.
No. At first, there was a little bit of a honeymoon where, like, you know, all you need is a few months here. So, at first, Randy Johnson got there, and everybody was happy, and like, oh, look at the big fella.
You're doing an alternate history. That was a disaster. It was a total mess.
Not from the get-go.
He pushed a camera guy down on the streets.
Immediately?
It was pretty quick. It was pretty quick. Well, I want to promote something, because in the loop...
Was it that quick?
It was like in the first couple of months, yeah.
Oh,
some camera guy...
I thought there was a honeymoon period.
I don't think it was much of one. Randy Johnson was walking down Midtown Manhattan, and some camera guy was trying to catch up with him, like old school TMZ style.
Yeah, but Bumgarner's not going to be walking down through Midtown.
They're having an old school hoedown at 10:40 this morning. They're basically comparing Roy Oswalt and Madison Bumgarner and figuring out who is more country of those two guys.
So
10:40 this morning, old school hoedown.
That was in January of 2005 that he pushed that dude.
Yeah, pretty quick. Not much of a honeymoon.
Jeez,
pretty for Randy Johnson.
Like it wasn't.
I want to go back to this though. You've got, and here's why this is a pressing and urgent matter, because the bullpen right now is totally beat up. It's tired. You've had too many appearances by some of your guys. And when I look at every turn of the rotation, I mean, first of all, up until the All-Star break, you're going with four starting pitchers, which you can live with because of the off days that they have. Fine. But they don't really have a fifth starter right now, the Astros. And I'm in a spot where with Brad Peacock, I'm not sure what I'm getting on an every single start sort of basis. And here is one big point. And I almost hesitate to speak these words into a microphone because I don't want to like put this bad juju into the atmosphere, okay? But when it comes to Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, they absolutely need those two guys to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot afford those guys to have any issues whatsoever. Now, I know the idea of those guys getting hurt, especially Verlander, seems like it's a complete impossibility, knock on wood and pray and all that kind of stuff. But with the rotation in the position that it's in right now, in the state that it's in, they can absolutely not afford to have something like that happen. And this is why I think Luno needs to be aggressive, and he needs to be calling people now, like this weekend, to add a starting pitcher.
Now, you're saying because it, obviously, if you're talking about winning a World Series, that was the case anyway. Like, if you lose your – one of the strengths of your team is that you're the most – you've got the best 1-2 combo in the AL when it comes to playoff teams, if those guys are healthy. But that's – so to win a World Series, that was one of your strengths. You're talking about just for the sake of the regular season.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss any time out of those guys.
I want to preserve my bullpen.
It's gone from worrying about who your fourth and fifth guys are now into, like, okay, 3 through 5, how do I really, really feel?
Seth, I'm being generous. Wade Miley, I'll live with. I think he's had a good season, and I don't really want him starting game 3, but I'm gonna be generous, at least on this part of the conversation, and I'll just say, hey, I'm good with Wade Miley. I'll be generous on that part. But when it comes to 4 and 5, yeah, I think Luno needs to be very aggressive in trying to add a pitcher, because if I can get an extra 3, 4, 5 starts out of a guy right now in July, if that's something that's a possibility, I would absolutely be willing to get that done right now.
Mm-hmm. So, how much are you willing to spend? Like, are we getting into that situation where you don't want to trade away Kyle Tucker?
I'd be willing to think about it depending on which pitcher it was.
Tucker, remember, who last year was absolutely untouchable.
Yes.
I'll cut your face off if you mention Kyle Tucker. Is he still at that level for some people? I'd be curious what percentage of our listeners are saying no hands off Kyle Tucker no matter what.
I don't think he is, because I've still got Springer, obviously. I've got Alvarez now, who I'm going to count on long term. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I've got these other guys here, you know, like Reddick and obviously Brantley for the next year or two. So if you're telling me I can add a pitcher who I think I have a chance to either keep here or re-sign, then yeah, I'd be willing to think about trading Kyle Tucker.
And Kyle Tucker might be at that magical spot where maybe the Astros don't feel quite about the same about him this year that they did last year. Who knows?
Possible.
You know, but he's been tearing it up in AAA, and other organizations might have a little different evaluation on him. And maybe the Astros are more willing to part with him.
They might be. I think that's a perfectly fair hypothetical, or idea, I should say. And when you think about this whole situation, as we're discussing the Astros' need to add a starting pitcher on a Friday morning on the 28th day of June, Mike and Seth, when you look back on the whole situation, it seems a little aggressive that they try to replace 3 different guys in the rotation the way that they have. No? When you think about Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers, they're replacing 60% of their starting rotation.
Yeah, yes.
That's a lot.
Was I not saying that was a big deal?
You were.
I was.
Yes.
Right. But, okay, you're saying it seems like they were... Were they not aggressive enough? I mean, Lance McCullers, they had no choice in the matter.
Of course.
It's not like they've planned, like, well, we'll probably lose Lance next year.
They were probably not aggressive enough.
Okay.
They were probably not aggressive enough. Much more on the Charlie Morton side than the Dallas Keuchel side.
That part of it I didn't get or understand, why people were so laissez-faire or lackadaisical, I guess. I don't know. They were just laid back about the fact that you were losing 60% of your starting pitching. And it's not as simple as just, oh, hey, Forrest Whitley, right? I'm sure after he gets off the amphetamines, allegedly, he'll be fine when he comes back. I didn't even know about the whole Forrest Whitley. Again, we'll get back into the weight thing. Like, Forrest Whitley's a guy who lost a bunch of weight as he got better in the minors and, like, looked electric.
Yes.
I know, but they call it a PD, whatever.
I don't know
what the hell's going on with that kid, or why he's been such a mess, and now that he's injured and now he's coming back. But you certainly don't trust him the way he was the promised prince 2 years ago. And all these guys, Colin Moran, Framber, Josh James, every single one of them has let you down.
Well,
like, and that's what people were relying on. Like, oh, we've got this glorious pipeline.
Yes.
So no big deal, right? You're right. Now, you're right. Yesterday, you brought it up yesterday that Charlie Morton, for whatever reason they decided to let him go, that's been a huge, huge mistake.
So far.
That's been monstrous. Now, saying that, looking at where the Astros have been, how they played over the past month, you know, they're a .500 baseball team. if you have Charlie Morton back, are they still a lot better than a 500 baseball team? Maybe they win a couple of those games.
They might. Which
it's not like that solves all the other things that have been going on.
But even a couple of baseball games takes you from, what, 12-11 to all of a sudden you've won 15 or 16 games, which is basically where you want to be.
Yeah.
And
that's true. Yeah. A couple of baseball games over
the
course.
It's a big deal.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And if you think about last year's team, you know, the best part of last year's team for 4 months or so was the starting pitching. So if last year's team was in the spot where this year's team is right this moment, heading into this weekend series against Seattle, which hopefully they should bounce back again, hopefully, but we'll see. Last year's team, I wouldn't be as nervous about a losing streak, Seth, because I knew every single day I was throwing out a really good starting pitcher every single day, and I know I'd have a legitimate chance to win every single day. And you get used to that, and you get tired of the winning. You get a little sick of the winning, and all of a sudden
we were so cocky a month ago.
We were so cocky 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, but now you go into these games, and it's like it's the first inning, the game's over, and we haven't had that with this team in like 4 years.
Yeah,